Someone came to me this morning and said, "Hey, we got an extra hour in our schedule this morning. Are you going to use that when you preach, that extra hour?" I said, "I don't know. I might." So, wish they'd quit fooling with our clocks, don't you? Yeah, I heard an amen on that, right? Okay. So we touched the nation. There's people from Minnesota and Texas and Louisiana all across that come here. This is home away from home. Thank you for that. Thank you, Jim. Great song this morning. My daughter Bethany's in Argentina, safe and sound. Praise the Lord. There for 10 days and doing that. Yeah. And she made it there safely. Patagonia and little piece of trivia. Our stools flush clockwise, theirs flush counterclockwise. So I didn't know that. He's on the other side of the equator, so here we go. Hey, we're sure glad you're here. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13 is where we are. Be looking at 24 through 43. Paul is preaching. You say, I'd love to know how to share the gospel with someone who's Jewish. How would I witness to someone who's Jewish? And you can take Paul's path and do a very good job with that. Rather than going down the Romans road, he goes down the Psalm road. He goes down the Isaiah road. He goes down the Habakkuk road. He goes down a lot of roads. And the Old Testament, I don't know that you can even understand the gospel. It was predicted, prophesied, promised, all told. The story is told. Wonderful story told in the Old Testament. And people say, well, we don't need the Old Testament anymore. You can't, I don't think you can imagine the gospel without it. And just take Paul's word for it. I'm looking at Acts 13, 24 through 43. As we stood earlier, would you join me if you're able to stand and follow along with me? I'll be reading from the King James this morning. But other translations, you can follow along in there as well. I'll begin in verse number 24. This is the Apostle Paul. When John first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, "Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead." And everybody said, "Amen to that." "But he was seen of many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise was made unto the fathers. God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up, raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. A lot going on this week, election day. Pray for our nation, Lord. Ask you to help us. We need help. All 50 states and our territories need help. Mayday. Mayday. Help us. Lord, we pray. Thank you for Brian, that he's part of our church family. Pray that you would bless him, putting himself forward to serve as a representative of the state of Missouri. Thank you for the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into that. Bless him as a Christian brother in Christ with success and blessing. We ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts. Paul, he pulled out all the stops. I don't think he gave them everything but the kitchen sink in this message. And I'm going to go through this quickly as I read through it just a moment ago. But Lord, it was up to the Holy Spirit to open eyes, up to the Holy Spirit to open hearts, up to the Holy Spirit to save souls. And so this old story that out of the Old Testament, old story out of the New Testament, we sang a moment ago, I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory and how he gave his life on Calvary. This is what Paul is preaching this morning, that old story. And just as the Holy Spirit was needed then, he is needed now. Open our eyes. May I say, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our souls to the truth of Christ. Bless our nation, bless our worship service this morning, Lord. Bless as we continue, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, Paul and Barnabas are breaking new ground in Asia Minor. They're talking, they're outside, sent by Antioch to preach unto these. What are they going to say? You say, how would you talk to someone who was of the Jewish faith and Jewish background about coming to faith in Christ? Just follow the model of Stephen. Follow the model of Paul. They will show you the way. Use their own scriptures to show them the way to Christ. Say, Christ is not in the Old Testament. Christ is on every page of the Old Testament. Amen. The entire book, all 66 books, have him as their subject matter. It is all about Christ. And when Paul tells the story, he tells it in a strange way. He talks like you and I would not. I don't think you and I would talk like this. He'll say, God did this, God did that, God did this, God did that, God did this. They'll say, how your day? Do you normally start with God did this, God did that, God did this, God did that? That's how Paul speaks. I mean, that's the way he tells them this story. He says, God chose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God gave promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Eventually, the nation, the children of Israel, were taken into slaves. God took them into slavery in the nation of Egypt. God brought them out with his strong hand out of the nation of Egypt and slavery that they experienced there. He protected them. He would say, God protected them in the wilderness for 40 years. He would say, God destroyed seven nations, the nations of Canaan. God did that. Do you talk that way? That God has done this, and God has done that, and God is here, and God is there. That's Paul speak. That's the way that he speaks. He would say the land was divided. God divided the land to them by lot. That's what God did. God gave them, after the leadership of Moses, God gave them Moses. God gave them Joshua. God gave them Judges. God gave them Samuel. God gave them Benjamin. God gave them David. And of course, the Jews would be going, yeah, duh. God did that. But Paul is not finished. After he says like eight or nine things that God did this, God, and they're eating out of the palm of his hand, he says, and lastly, God gave a Savior whose name is Jesus. Now that's when they said, now hold on there, Trigger. I'm all about God, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob stuff, and God dividing the land and conquering our enemies and giving us judges and Moses and Joshua and Benjamin and David. He says, God gave a Savior. And then he begins to go, not down the Roman road. He goes down the Psalm road. He goes down the Isaiah road. He goes down the Habakkuk road, and he tells them how the Old Testament has told us everything that we need to know about the Savior whose name is Jesus. It's an interesting way of talking to someone, isn't it? You say, boy, I'd like to know if I ever encounter a Jew, how do I talk to them? You talk to them like Stephen talked in earlier in the book of Acts. You talk to them as Paul talks here in this text. You use their own scriptures to talk to them about our blessed Savior. Don't you love it when someone looks at history as his story, as what God is doing, and we can wring our hands about the upcoming election, and I get it, we're praying, and I get it, we're upset, and I get it, Mayday, I get it, 9/11, somebody go down 911, I get it. Just watch what God is about to do. Let's pray, let's vote, and then let's just trust the Lord as to what he's up to. God gave throughout their history. Now, he says, I think it's in like 23, which I didn't read. After he did all those, God gave, in 23, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, whose name is Jesus. Paul gives the details. He goes line by line, precept upon precept. Look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look at Egypt. Look at the 10 plagues. Look at the 10 commandments. Look at Moses. Look at Joshua. Look at the judges. Look at Samuel. Look at Benjamin. Look at David. Look, he says, at Jesus. God's not finished giving. He's giving one more thing. And God is doing it here in 24 through 31. He gives the details. It's like we sang a moment ago. I heard an old, old story how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. He starts almost singing a precursor, a foreshadow of victory in Jesus in 24. He begins the story. Talking about John. John, the baptizer, preached before Jesus came. They'd all heard of John the baptizer. They knew exactly who he was talking about. He preached a baptism. Get your hearts ready for the Savior to come, for this Jesus to come. How do I get my heart ready? Repent, he says. to all the people of Israel. It started with John saying, repent. I've had people say to me, good, honest, educated men have come to me and said, the word repent is not in the Gospel of John, therefore repentance is not part of your salvation. I say, hogwash. John came preaching repentance, to fall on your face before a holy God and to cry out and say, Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. I'm not big into sinners' prayers. Repeat after me. But I love the one of that publican falling on his knees and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There's your sinner's prayer right there. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the other guy, the Pharisee standing in the background, oh Lord, aren't you glad I'm a Pharisee? I'm a guy. I'm not a girl. I'm a Jew. I'm not a Gentile. I'm free. I'm not a slave. Aren't you just so proud of me? And Jesus says, which prayer does the Lord, you think God hears? And they all said, he hears the tax collector. Short, simple, sweet, God be merciful to me, a sinner. John came preaching repentance, and I say to you today, you won't hear this in a lot of churches today. Repent! That the world needs to fall on their face. This nation needs to fall on its face before God and repent! That is the need of every soul. That's the need of every nation. That's the need of every church. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. Repent, he says. Paul says, John came preparing hearts for the Savior, yet to come, yet unseen. How do you set the table? Repent, he says. Let's get our hearts ready for the Savior. John knew in 25 that Jesus was, he knew Jesus was the Messiah. John fulfilled his course. He said, whom think ye that I am? I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the promised one in those 39 books of the Old Testament. Behold, he's coming after me. If you really want to know the truth, I don't even have what it takes. I'm not worthy to get down and tie his shoes. I'm not worthy to do slave work for this one. I'm totally John came completely humble, complete humility. You say, what is the missing ingredient in the church today? I see a lack of repentance. I see a lack of humility. I see a lack of honoring Christ so high, so gloriously, that it strikes joy, fear, terror, gladness, all things in our hearts when you see Christ as he really is. John saw him. He says, I'm not worthy of bending down to take his shoe off, put his shoe on, tie his shoe. That is not something I could do. Jesus was good news. You say, good news to who? To the Gentiles, men and brethren, he says in 26. Children of the stock of Abraham. Hey, you Jews. Hey, children of Israel, and whosoever among you fears God, to you is the word of this salvation kept. Christ was sent to you. And I can say Christ was sent, Jew, there may be someone of Jewish stock here, Gentile, mostly Gentile here, I would say 99.9%, to you. Christ was sent to be your Savior and to save your soul. And they would say, well, you're making this up out of whole cloth. In verse number 27, he says, I'm not making anything up. They that dwell at Jerusalem, their rulers, they knew him not, or the voices of the prophets. This message should not come as a surprise to you. I'm not making anything up. I'm telling you what Moses, the judges, the prophets of the nation of Israel said time after time after time again, Christ in the Old Testament. He says the prophets promised Jesus, whom they read. They read it in your Sabbath every Sabbath day. They read the prophets. Were you listening? That's what every preacher wonders, right? Are we listening? Are we hearing? Is the Holy Spirit applying what is said to our hearts? Are we paying attention? Are we making our shopping list for next Tuesday? Are we thinking about the election overly much right now? Are we worried about things outside of this room? He says, it was read to you week after week. Question, you didn't listen, he says to them in 27. They didn't listen. They didn't understand. When Jesus arrived, rather than love him, they hated him. In 28, they hated him so much they urged Pilate to kill the Savior. And the prophets even spoke of his crucifixion. You read Psalm 22, it's like an eyewitness of the crucifixion. You read Isaiah 53, it's like some reporter standing in Jerusalem when Jesus is dying to die suspended between heaven and earth, our Savior. They urged Pilate to kill the Savior. The prophets spoke often of his crucifixion. They laid Jesus' body in a grave. On day 3 in verse 30, God raised him up from the grave. 31, you say, prove it. He was seen by lots of people in 31. He was seen and believed by others. But they saw, this crowd saw, and didn't believe. People say, boy, I wish you could do miracles. Man, that would be great. If you just do a miracle, I think that would be, I would believe it. They saw the risen Savior and didn't believe. The Holy Spirit has to open our hearts to these things. They were spiritually deaf, spiritually blind to the wonder and the glory of the Lord Jesus. They needed the Holy Spirit to open their eyes. We need the Holy Spirit to open our eyes. Paul presented the truth, line by line, precept upon precept, story in an economy of words. He does a jet tour of 3 years of public ministry. He came, John preached, prepared the way. Here he is, here he stands. They saw him, they didn't believe. He did miracles. He died. He was laid in a borrowed tomb. He was raised. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, seen by many. Those are the details that he gave, and that's my first point, the details. And Paul's task and my task is no different. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweeter than ever was heard. We sing that. Tell me the story of Jesus. That's what Paul is doing. We never get tired of it. The more we hear of it, the more we want to hear of it. We want to hear more and more about it. Those are the details. Next, he says, if you think that I'm making this up out of whole cloth, I'm going to prove to you with no uncertain doubt that actually the prophets wrote exactly what I'm telling you. And he begins to disclose the truth of Jesus in the Old Testament as told by Moses and the prophets. The promise, he says in 32, the promise, we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto our fathers, God has fulfilled in our generation, unto us, their children, and that he raised up Jesus again from the dead. In 33, he says, God fulfilled the same unto us. He's raised Jesus up again. As it is written in Psalm 2, you are my son. This day have I begotten you. Christ's glory, Jehovah's Witnesses would say, Jesus is the first act of creation. He created Jesus first. Psalm 2 says, Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He's always been the Son of God. He will always be the Son of God. You say, well, I'm a son of God, or I'm a daughter of God. Now, how are we different than Jesus? We are sons and daughters of God by adoption. We are sons and daughters of God but through repentance. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. Because he is the eternal Son of God, we can be made sons and daughters of God. through faith in Him. You are my Son. Today I have begotten you. He has a glory which is above creation, a glory above angels, a glory above any other human being. And when He came to earth, His glory was put on full display when God raised Him from the dead and exalted Him. Today He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Glory, glory, glory. You are my Son. He uses Psalm 2, the Psalm road, not the Romans road. In 34, He uses the Isaiah road in 34. And as concerning that He raised Him up from the dead, now more to return to corruption, He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. I'm making you a promise. It's a promise that's not going to be fulfilled by David. Later, He says, David died. David saw corruption. If you go to David's grave, he's in there. But I made a promise to David that through him, there would be a Savior who would come. And God has kept His promise through David, King David, that one of His own would come and be born who would not see corruption. My wife and I went to Israel. We went to Jerusalem. We went to the Garden too. We walked inside. I saw with mine own eyes. He is not there. He saw no corruption. He has been raised from the dead. Paul was using the Old Testament scripture, going down the Psalm road, not the Roman road, Psalm road, going down the Isaiah road, not the Roman road, the Isaiah road. He says, I'm going to tell you about this precious Jesus. I will give you the sure mercies of David. Eternal covenant blessings were promised through David, and eternal covenant blessings were accomplished through David in Christ. He goes back to Psalms again in verse 35. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, not Psalm 2, another psalm, Psalm 16, verse number 10. He says unto him in 35, in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. He would die, but he would be raised from the dead. This is the disclosure. The details were given in those first few verses. Now the disclosure. We knew about this prior to it ever happening. Someone would say, now don't you be counting your chickens before they hatch. Paul is saying, this was promised in the Old Testament. Take it to the bank. Here he is right in front of you, front and central. Do you believe what God has done through Christ? 4 and 36, David was a national hero. David was in their mind King of Kings. David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, he died. He fell on sleep. He died. He was laid in a grave. He died. He's still in that grave. And David's tomb is there in the nation, in the city, and he is still. His bones lie there waiting for the coming resurrection day and at the second time of the second coming of Christ. But his son, Messiah, is alive. And in verse 37, but he whom God raised again saw no corruption. He's alive. He's been raised from the dead, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is praying for us in this room right now, and he wants to be your Savior today. We have not put our faith in a dead Savior, but a living Savior. He's alive today and reigning in heaven above. You say, well, how would this strike them? These details, this disclosure, and he's going down these different roads. How are they going to respond to this message? How are we going to respond to this message? You say, man, this message, if I go across town, they're going to preach on marriage, they're going to preach on money, they're going to preach on whatever. How do you expect us to respond to a message about Jesus? We're told in 38, their desire. 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. You say, I come in with a lot of things that I think are my problems. I think the election's my biggest problem. I think You know, had a guy come by the church this week. I owe $500 on my cable TV. And that's my biggest problem. And I would say your biggest problem is forgiveness of sins. This is your biggest problem. And he said, I want to watch the election. I want to watch the election. And I would say, what you need to watch is Christ. And you need to pay attention to him. Christ came to accomplish our greatest need. I'm a sinner. Nothing more, nothing less. I'm a sinner from the moment of conception. When Adam fell, it's like getting your first button wrong when you button your dress shirt. You get that first button wrong, every button's wrong. You go wrong all the way down. Then you go, oh, something's wrong here. Yeah, I don't know. My collar's twisted. Adam fell, and in Adam we all fell. Our greatest need is forgiveness. And he says, this Savior, if you want to respond to this Savior, come to faith in Christ. Your sins will be forgiven. You say, you don't know about my sins. Our sins are great. His grace is greater. Our sins are deep, wide, high, black. God's, Christ's grace, Christ's mercy, Christ's righteousness is greater than anything we've done. You can put it all under the blood this morning if you'll come to faith in Christ. And it may be today that your greatest need, you say, I've never trusted Christ. I've never told anyone I'm a Christian. I've never even thought about becoming a Christian. Paul is saying, this is your greatest need. And Christ provided your greatest need. It's forgiveness of sins. And it's on the merits of the resurrection in 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of our sins. And by him, all that believe are justified, declared innocent by a judge from all, not some things, all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. People say, well, I just want to do good. When I go to God and he says, why should I let you into my heaven? I'm going to tell him my good works outweigh my bad works. God doesn't judge on a curve. He judges on a cross. And we need to come to faith in Christ, not on our own merits, but on Christ's merits. You are saved by works, the work of Christ, not your own works. He said you could go to the law. I'm saved by obeying the law. What the law will do, if you go to Dr. Law, he's going to say, you have a broken neck, you have a broken arm, you have a broken leg, you have a broken wrist, you're broken. And you say to Dr. Law, well, you're a doctor, fix me. And Moses would say, Dr. Law can't fix you. Dr. Law can tell you the problem. You need to go to Dr. Grace. You need to go to Dr. Jesus. I can diagnose your problem, but I can't fix your problem. Only, you know, I can't, but I know someone who can. I wish all doctors spoke in those terms, don't you? I go to my doctor and they'll say, they may not have a clue what they're talking about, but believe me, they are never in doubt. It's like, ah! I wish one time I would go to a doctor and he would say, I know exactly what's wrong with you and I don't know how to fix it, but I know someone who can. That's what he says about the law of Moses. He says it in like 39, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Moses will tell you you're broken. But Moses is going to send you to Christ. Then he says that word of words in verse 40. Beware. What do we need in pulpits across the nation? We need a few more preachers saying, beware. We need a few more preachers who will say, stop, sinner, stop, go to Christ. We need preachers who will say, the bridge is out. Stop driving. The bridge is out. Turn around. Go to Christ. Paul says, beware. Your soul hangs in the balance. Beware. In verse number 40, you despisers, you wonders, you thinkers, you're overthinking, you're perishing. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man comes like myself and declares it unto you. Believe it. And here's their desire. The Jews were gone out of the synagogue. The Gentiles said, could I hear that story again? I have some people say, I've heard you preach that text before. I did that recently with Psalm 122. I preached Psalm 122 after COVID, after we came back from 11 weeks of not worshiping together. And I preached Psalm, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I chose that as my text. Returning from COVID, doors are open again. I've heard you preach that before. I said, yeah, but I didn't do it like I did last time. No, you didn't do it like you did last time. I took notes and you didn't do it that way. Paul is saying, you've heard this message before. I want you to treat this like you had never heard it in your life. Beware, he says. You're at risk of perishing. Your soul is hanging in the balance. There's only a tissue-thin distance between you and eternal hell. Beware. Stop, sinner, stop. Run, instead of toward your sin, run toward Christ. And if they thought Paul would stop, he doesn't stop. He says, beware. He gives them this warning. And then he doesn't go down the Roman road. He goes down the Habakkuk road in verse 41. Habakkuk, behold, you despisers and wonders and perish. I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. God would tell the nation of Israel something. He told them over and over and over again and again and again, and they wouldn't believe. It's like they were anorexic. They would hear something and then go out the door and just go, ugh. They were starving to death. They were blind spiritually. They were deaf. They could not, they would not hear. He's saying, Habakkuk says, pay attention. Everything's in the balance. Everything's on the line. God has not, you know, withheld anything. He's given you everything, everything in the kitchen sink. It's all there. It's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul's story then, my story now. Believe in Christ and it will be well with your soul. Forgiveness and being made right with God comes through faith in Christ. People say, well, I have faith. I have faith. I have faith. People say, your faith is lacking. Your faith is lacking. You don't have enough faith. We do not have faith in faith. We have faith in Christ. He is the object of our faith. And Paul is saying, put your faith in Christ and it will be well with your soul. And like Paul, I say, beware. I say, woe. I say, pay attention. And those who heard the message wanted to hear it again. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of Christ. And I pray that everyone here today would say, I'm thrilled to hear that story. Could I hear it again? I want to hear that again. Because Christ is what makes heaven heaven. We'll sing that story, sing that song throughout the ages. Best song on earth. If you're here today and you haven't trusted Christ, why not today? If you're here today, you need a Savior. Come to faith in Christ. If you've never trusted Christ, beware. You're put on notice that you will stand before God and say, I had a chance to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ on that day. I just resisted. I refused. I dug in. I would not do it. And you will be without excuse in heaven. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for Paul's words when he witnessed to Jews, and we can use this to witness to a Jew or Gentile. He just used scripture. He just goes through it point by point, line upon line, precept upon precept, note by note. And praying today, Lord, this evangelistic service here at Friendly Baptist on Sunday, November 3rd, the year of our Lord, 2024, that if there's someone here who has never trusted Christ, that today would be a day of salvation. Others who may need prayer today, that they would come for prayer so that a pastor, someone in the congregation could put their hands on them and pray with them and for them today. Someone needing a church home, Lord, that you would bless. We need a physical address, of course. Sometimes we need a P.O. box. Why not? We need a church home. And Lord, I pray that if someone today lives in the area and needs a home, that they would come home to Friendly today. Bless now as we sing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.